Love to have been here this morning. Ken came in on Saturday, and he had let me know a few weeks in advance that he had been diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis. And what that basically is your body begins to attack your lungs. And he has a shortness of breath, and almost like you have asthma. And so he gave me some warning. He says, I may not be able to do all of my messages. Just be ready. I said, we'll work it out. On Monday, when he was here this past week, he gave me a shout in the evening. He was off visiting some friends. And he says, I got to go back home. And so he left on Tuesday to go back to San Diego just to rest. You know, Ken, he always has lots of activity, wants to keep on going. And he's having a hard time, you know, in his 70s, just slowing down. And so remember to pray for Ken. He asked that, he said, I don't want to pray that God takes this away. But I want to pray that I have grace and God's peace as I go through this. Unless God works a miracle, this doesn't get better. You just maintain it and try to not have it get any worse. So I told him I can be the Canadian rep for Real Life Ministries. Just send me my business cards and we'll all be good. And he says, go right ahead. So this morning I want to share, first of all, a little bit about Real Life Ministries. I've had an opportunity to be on 5 missions trips with them and to work with Ken and the team. And so I want to do that and then share from God's Word afterwards. And probably the best way to understand a bit more about this work is to see some videos. And so we're going to see 2, and I'll talk just a bit between the 2. They are different. The first one we're going to show, first of all, it's professionally made, but I want to tell you who it's directed to, because I know we're in a church gathering, but this video will say nothing about God, nothing about the gospel, but it will show what the work is involving. And it is a mobile dental clinic. It's a van that someone donated the funds for, $180,000. For the van and for all that goes inside it. And they will, God provides, right? God provides. And they will go out to remote areas, they'll go into just different chapels, and they'll set up a mobile clinic. They've got 2 dentist chairs they can pull out and set up anywhere, and they got a 3rd chair inside the van. And you'll see it's pretty sweet. And this video is meant to go to dentists. Dentists around North America, to invite them to come. Currently, those who are coming, for the most part, are Christians. But they're opening up to any dentist, any hygienist, to come. And they want to also minister to the dentists who come. And so this video is meant to show simply what you can be involved in. They do some surfing afterwards, so if you're wondering why they're showing surfing in a missions video, it's who the audience is directed to, this message. So, let's see this video, please. So if you know anyone who is going into dentistry or is a dentist or a hygienist, I'd be happy to forward on the information, or you can see Gert and just the connections there, but opportunities that abound. They will go to, as I mentioned, different assemblies. They'll set up a dentist place outside as a way to bring people, and then they begin to talk to them about Jesus as well. There's a couple of tools they use. One is this comic book. It's sort of a Bible comic book. All the drawings were put together by one of the artists for Marvel Comics. They have the whole Bible. And they gave up the rights and let them take 12 stories, and it goes right from Genesis to Revelation with the gospel story. Again, someone donated the funds to print 10,000. So they donated $3 each, so $30,000 to be able to print. They've got lots of these, so when the kids come around, they all get their dental work done, and they get a bit of a gospel, a message. They also have these bracelets they make, and it's an opportunity for you. The color of the band is the color of the Sunrise Mobile, the Smile Mobile. And it has 5 beads, and it tells the gospel story, right? You talk about blackness of sin, what God has done, red, the blood that was given. And again, it's an opportunity to share with those that have their dental work done the message of hope that we want to share. If you're interested, speak to me afterwards. I'll get your email, and I can send you the instructions for how to make this. The idea of this will be able to be out every day. Currently, it's not. It just needs that staffing. And on a Saturday, any given Saturday, they hand out 100 of these. So you can see how quickly they can go through them. So young and old, you want to learn a new hobby like crocheting, here's your opportunity to just be involved in this ministry in a very, very simple way. The idea and the heart behind this is to reach people and do it through dental work. The second video is going to show more the whole scope of Real Life Ministries. From their medical clinic, to a dental clinic, to the mobile dental clinic, to house building, and to even car racing. And you'll get a bit of an idea just how broad and ideas that they have. You know, if you want to serve the Lord and reach out, there are so many ways and avenues to do it. And so just watch this. You'll see some familiar faces in this video, but this gives you the full scope of what Real Life Ministries is about. Saw some familiar faces, Gert, Anna Maria, and I think Jonathan was in there as well, a couple of shots. What you see is there are so many opportunities, right? With that off-road racing, they also hand out to all the kids who come around these gospel tracks. The way it works is you present your car. So your car comes in, gets inspected, it gets announced, and then it moves up to the starting line. And it's an opportunity in a sport that really doesn't have a lot of Christian influence to be able to go in and to be a light. They also race on behalf of a home for battered women. And it's quite something for the kids to see a car, and they usually all take their hands and they basically paint their hands, put it on that car. And that car is racing for them. And it might be the first time in their life that somebody has stood up for them. And so it really is something that moves and gives the ability to encourage and gives God's message and show the love of God in so many ways. That's what I want to, this morning, just talk a little bit about. The opportunity that we have to glorify God in so many ways in our lives. I want to share 4 scriptures and just go through them, but that is my goal, to have us see how we can be used by God. The first scripture is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. One of the phrases that I want to draw from this verse is this. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Say it again. Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. In this context, the Corinthians were a church that was really messed up. They had all kinds of problems. But they were still, Paul said, saints. He still loved them. They still were God's people. I find that just encouraging in itself, right? We got all kinds of problems, each of us, right? I'm part of God's body at the same time. And they had questions for Paul. And one of the questions they had is, you know, is it okay to eat food that has been offered to idols? Most likely that was the best place to buy food. You know, people would bring it to the temple. All kinds of meat and drink, and you know, the priest could only eat so much, they may turn sell it in a little grocery store behind the temple, and that was where you used to get a lot of your food. And so the question was, is it okay to eat this food? Are idols really, you know, anything we should take note of? And Paul wrote back to them and said, you know, an idol really is nothing. Stone statue has no power. And so he said, in that sense, it's okay to eat. But then he says, if it causes your brother to stumble, if it, you know, goes against your conscience, he says, don't. And then he says these words, and it gives this overriding principle. That whether you eat this food or you drink these drinks, whatever you're going to do, do it for the glory of God. And in doing and in saying that, he took what was sort of everyday thing and a challenge you'd have, and he gave a much bigger and a broader picture. He gave a principle for how we do even the simple things of life. And the attitude that we are to have. And that attitude is, whatever we do, we're to bring God's glory. It puts everything into perspective, and it takes the simple things in life and it makes them sacred. Right? It's not like now we have church stuff and Christian stuff and whatever we want to do, secular stuff. But it takes even eating a meal and makes it sacred and an opportunity to bring God glory. Ever thought about that? You know, it's not just saying grace before a meal or after a meal and being thankful for your food, but how you eat and what you eat. Taking everything and doing it for the glory of God. That overriding principle we can take and apply it to every area of life. It can be in our work. We work for the glory of God. It can be in our education. It can be in our entertainments, right? Our entertainments are to bring glory to God. Again, that may affect how you entertain yourself, right? Our recreation, the things that we do, our retirement. Every area of life, every facet, everything that we do, everything, Paul says, is meant to bring glory to God. Glory to God. So what does it mean to bring glory to God? If this is something that's supposed to be part of everything that we do and this attitude that we have, what does it mean? What does it mean to bring glory to God? A couple of words that I thought of were, I guess words that have a similar kind of meaning or idea, were to magnify God or to exalt God, to honor Him. To bring Him glory. With those words in mind, I want to look at a second scripture, and that is Psalm 34 and verse 3. Psalm 34 and verse 3. The songwriter says this, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. A number of years back, I was going on a shopping trip. I should change that a little bit. Every summer, for a long time, we used to go on holidays with two other couples. And between everybody, there was five girls. So that meant you didn't do a lot of fishing, but you did a lot of shopping. So one day we're in one of the stores and you're kind of walking around with them. And I normally don't go through the cosmetic area. But ladies, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We're kind of working our way through there and I came across this mirror, this round mirror. And I was sort of looking at it and I kind of knocked it and it flipped it around. And all of a sudden I was looking at this gigantic nose and all of my pores in a small area of my face. And I realized, okay, this is a cosmetic mirror. Okay, now I understand what these things are for. What changed? Did my face all of a sudden become huge? Did my nose get any bigger? No. Right? But my perspective changed. Right? My perspective changed. I think of that when I think about how we are to magnify God. How we are to exalt Him and to glorify Him. The reality is, how can we as finite human beings change an infinite God? How can we add anything to Him? How can we give Him anything more than He already has? He has everything, right? You say, well, don't I read at the end, you know, when we're in heaven, that we take all of our crowns and things that God has given to us, and we throw them at His feet? Yes, but let's go back to the beginning, okay? God is the one who gives all of us our abilities, right? God is the one who gives to us all of our opportunities to use those abilities. God is the one who gives us the strength and the power. God is the one who gives the blessing as we serve Him, right? And God is the one who gives us those gifts and those crowns. And so what we do when we turn around and we throw them at His feet is we're just giving back to Him what He's already given to us. We cannot change God. We cannot add and give Him anything more. In that sense, we can't make Him any more glorious. We can't exalt Him any more than He already is. He is perfect. But we can change our understanding of Him. We can change our perspective and the perspective of those around. And I believe that's what it means to exalt God, to magnify God, and to glorify God. It's to change our perspective on who He is and what He is like and what He has done for us. When we live our lives every day with a desire to please Him and to glorify Him, one of the things that we do is we change our own perspective of Him. We see Him in a different light. His grace and His love to us becomes greater every day. We look around at the creation and we just enjoy it and we glorify Him and magnify Him. When we work to the best of our abilities, when we use every moment of our time, even if we're just saying, Lord, I need to relax. I need to just refresh myself and honor Him in that. We glorify Him. We point to Him. We point ourselves to Him. I think about the words that David spoke to himself in Psalm 103, where he said, Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Excuse me. When he said, Psalm 103, which is, Bless the Lord, O my soul, right? And all that's within me. He's speaking to himself. He's looking at God and saying, Look at your soul. Look at my soul. Look at what God has provided for you. How He heals your diseases. How He strengthens you. He takes your life and He does all these things. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He speaks to himself and he magnifies God and he shows to his own self how great God is. We're also told, though, that we're to magnify the Lord, exalt Him together. When we live a life with everything we want to honor Him, and we do it together, you know, I can take, you know, Frank and say, Look at what God has done. And together, we see God in a new perspective. Some of you, I think there's 22 of you, going down to Mexico, right? And as you serve and you go through from having ice cream after a hard day's worth of work to sweating in the sun there and building or, you know, pouring the concrete, you're showing God. You're showing what God means to you, to each of the team members, to the whole neighborhood that you're in. People will stop and say, What are you doing? And they understand you're a missions team. In every way we can do things together to have others around us see God in a new perspective or a greater perspective. It's a pattern of living, right? A pattern of life that everything we want to do, we just want to point to God, to have Him be seen in a greater way. The third scripture is Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. So we start off by saying that whether we eat, drink, even the simple things in life, we are to glorify God. We've seen that glorifying God is pointing to Him, not changing Him, but changing our perspective. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. This is God speaking from heaven. It says, And behold, a voice out of the heavens said this, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This took place when Jesus was being baptized. All of a sudden, as John baptized Jesus, they heard this voice. This is my beloved Son. I am well pleased with Him. Think for a moment and watch this. What had Jesus done? What he had done no miracles yet, right? He hadn't spoken any sermons. He hadn't healed any people. And yet God broke through, spoke audibly and said, "This is my beloved Son, and I am well pleased with Him." What had Jesus done? Well, for 30 years He had lived life. Sometimes we think, you know, Jesus' ministry, those 3.5 years, that's really what He was all about. But no. We forget about the 30 years before. God wants people to recognize, not that simply His Son was perfect in those 30 years, but His Son pleased the Father. He pleased the Father in doing ordinary things. And pleased the Father in simply living. I say this reverently. Think about what Jesus probably did in those 30 years that caused pleasure for the Father. The child simply just grew up, right? Went to school, played with his friends, had play dates, right? He would have gone vacation or however they did, sort of relaxing times in those ancient times. He would have worked with his father, probably, you know, worked in the carpentry shop, helped his mom, done groceries, you know, all the things that we would do, he would have done. When you think about that, that means that everything in life, even the simple, mundane things, we really can bring glory to God. It's not a verse in 1 Corinthians we're taking out of context, because we see the Son of God doing ordinary things, and the Father speaking from heaven, "This is my beloved Son. I'm not only just pleased with Him, I am well pleased." Jesus lived to bring glory to God. Jesus lived to magnify the Father. He even said that in John chapter 17, right? I have glorified your name on earth. I think we restrict it too much if we say it was just those 3 years, 3.5 years. It's all His life. I think this gives to us tremendous encouragement that no matter our age, no matter our skills or our ability, we are called and we are able to glorify God in the simple things, the everyday things of life. And I'm not here to point to real life, to ministries, but you stop and you think about the things that they do. There is the medical aspect, whether it's the medical clinic, the dental clinic, or the mobile clinic. But they also build houses, right? They also look at auto racing. When we were down there last time, there was a lady, and you saw a picture of her at the very beginning, named Lula. She's been our cook for the past 3 times. And she had a burden for her neighborhood kids. Many of them were coming from homes where there's alcohol and drugs. Most of them would go to school without anything to eat. And so she takes the neighborhood kids in now every day, feeds them breakfast before they go off to school. And they have 2 school sort of times. Some kids go in the morning and some go in the afternoon. So again, at lunchtime, she takes the other kids, feeds them, and they go off to school. They do it out of a church, and she has an opportunity then to tell them Bible stories on the weekends. But it's someone just looking and saying, "I've got the ability to cook. I want to glorify God." Every area of life, the simple things, making a meal, all to exalt and to glorify God. The 4th scripture I want to look at is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in verses 20 and 21. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 20 and 21. And Paul here is answering another question that the Corinthians had. Their question was, you know, "I am married, but my spouse is not a Christian. Should I divorce my spouse so I really can serve God fully?" And you can understand where that question is coming from. Another question they had asked was, "I'm a slave. You know, I got to do whatever my master wants. I mean, I can't get out to church or the gatherings whenever I want to. Can I run away? Can I do something to get away from my master so I can serve God?" Paul answers this. Each one of you should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Don't worry about it. But if you're able to become free, rather do that. Understand, he says, okay, you know, if you have an opportunity, great, go for it. But don't make that so stressful. Don't make that the theme of your life. Whatever place, wherever you are when you were called as a Christian, start off by staying there. And why is that? Because wherever we're at, we can honor and glorify God. Not just what we do, but wherever we're at. You know, sometimes, I know I think, the grass is greener somewhere else. You know, if only I was out of this rotten job I'm in, I really could serve God more fully, right? If only I was, you know, if I had more money and I could retire, then I could serve God more fully. If only I was this, if only I was that. Wherever you're at, start there. And the ability to glorify God. Wherever you're at, whatever your abilities, whatever your age, understand where Paul is coming from? Whatever you do, from the simple things in life to the most complex, we can and we should bring glory and honor to God. I find that so encouraging, because that means it doesn't matter my age, right? Doesn't matter my income level. Doesn't matter what restrictions I have now. It's open to everyone, from children to the oldest senior, the ability to honor and exalt and glorify God. It's what we're called to do, right? I believe it was the Scottish wanted to, as they were teaching their children, were catechizing their children, they would ask them questions and they had to respond and answer the questions how they learned theology hundreds of years ago. And the very first question was, what is the duty of man? What are we called to do, right? The duty of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's what we are all called to do. To honor, to glorify, and to exalt Him. And so we start off by looking at videos. Variety of things that people are doing to glorify God. And it comes to us now. Where are each of us at? What are we called? What gifts and abilities do we have? And to begin to use our sanctified imagination. And just say, wherever I'm at, look for opportunities to honor and glorify God. From meals that you eat, to a job, to your recreation, to your retirement, to your entertainment. Every area we can honor and glorify God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You this morning for the way Your Word not only challenges us, but encourages us. Each of us has a tremendous opportunity. Yes, it's a challenge, but it is an opportunity to be able to exalt, to point people, to magnify who You are, and how great You are, how gracious, forgiving, and how kind. Father, help us, remind us each day to show to ourselves and to show to others who You are. So, Father, we pray in Your strength to be able to do this. We thank You for a time to be here this morning, to be able to magnify You together as well. We praise and we exalt You. In Jesus' name, amen.